Welcome to The Laptop Lifestyle. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, digital content creator for brands and companies and online entrepreneur. Whether you're running a business full-time, starting a side hustle, or just beginning to think about starting a business, you are in the right place. The Laptop Lifestyle is for you, the unconventional thinker, the person who isn't afraid to step outside of their comfort zone and pursue creativity over complacency. Each week, we will unlock how to build passionate online communities and thriving online businesses. All right, Laptop Lifestylers, let's jump in. Hello, hello, Laptop Lifestylers. Welcome back to another episode of The Laptop Lifestyle with your host, that's me, Alexis Teichmiller. Today on the show, we have a powerhouse of a guy. So much energy. His name is Case Kenny. Case is the founder and editor-in-chief of Pursuit.com, a leading daily newsletter. He is the co-founder of Trep Media Group, founder of 216 Ventures, co-host of the Hustle Sold Separately podcast, and he lives in Chicago, Illinois. This guy has been curating and writing a newsletter every day for 4 years, and he has accumulated over 82,000 readers daily, which is just insane to me. We dig into so many topics that I think this might be one of my top five favorite episodes for just how diverse our conversation is. We talk about everything from finding your brand voice so you know how to best communicate with your audience to, you know, the responsibility and the true intentions that come along with having influence and impact, minimizing regret and the importance of confidence and self-esteem and how they're all connected. But the overarching principle of this entire episode is the power of perspective. I can't wait for you guys to meet Case. He truly is such an inspiring, impactful person in the millennial space. And I just cannot wait for you guys to listen. But first, I want you guys to do me a favor. If you are listening right now to the podcast on your phone, please screenshot your podcast player and go over to Instagram and upload that to your Insta stories and then just tag me in it. I love seeing you guys listening to the show. I love asking you guys what you learned most from each episode. It's a way for me to connect with you guys. And that's the whole reason I even host this podcast, is to have community with other laptop lifestylers. All right, guys, let's jump into this episode all on the power of perspective. What up, Laptop Lifestylers? It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here. And today on The Laptop Lifestyle, I have a very special guest. I'm really, really intrigued and I'm so stoked to have him on the show. His name is Case Kenny. What's up, Case?
What's up? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Pursuit, which is your daily, weekly, weekday newsletter. And I'm just really excited to learn about your entrepreneurial story and just kind of dive into all things Case Kenny and how you're impacting the world on the internet.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm excited to chat.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just take it back. Let's take it back and tell me how you got started in the world of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I think I'm a bit of an enigma in that I kind of espouse all things entrepreneurship, and I am by every measure definitely an entrepreneur. I've started and run many businesses and currently run a rapidly scaling business. But I also actually, and we didn't even talk about this before, I'm actually still working 9 to 5. So I've got a bit of a unique perspective when it comes to like entrepreneurship and side hustles. But if we're throwing it back, I mean, I graduated from college in 2011, moved to Chicago, started working at an ad agency, which I think is really good perspective just in general for business, marketing, whatever it may be. So I worked at a really large ad agency in Chicago for a while, working on large brands, doing things like content partnerships, tech, content, things like that, pretty broad spaced. But eventually, I was tasked with, helping these brands connect with millennials, kind of the key buzzword there. Basically working with publishers, right? Like BuzzFeed and Elite Daily and folks like that to make this connection. And I kind of looked at myself and looked around at my peers like, this is kind of BS, honestly, like no offense to those brands. Certainly we never talk bad about them, but I was like, these brands do not connect with me or my peers or anyone like-minded of my generation. So I was kind of started having those feelings for a while. And then as I was kind of working in the agency world, which is very entrepreneurial, kind of a very driven and very dynamic industry, I kind of started to get this itch to do something of my own. Definitely was never a born entrepreneur. I was never one of those people who was 10 years old and had a lemonade stand or anything like that. Like my mother was a lawyer. My brother's a doctor, like very traditional career path. So I just kind of had that inkling. Like I've always been creative and reader and writer and things like that. But a long story short, you know, having those feelings at these ad agencies, I was like, yeah, you know, screw it. I'll start blogging, right? Like the most basic thing you could do that is, you know, considered entrepreneurial. So I started doing that, kind of just blogging, curating content that I actually thought spoke more to millennials, right? So kind of like casting aside this BuzzFeed idea and listicles and things like that, and just creating dope content. You really like people my age in their 20s, in their 30s, just sharing experiences. Called it Pursuit, in that the idea was, you know, it's we're all in the pursuit of something you know, larger and more experiences and so on. Pursuit. Could not afford the actual domain because it was like $300,000. So I opted for the one letter less, but it's cool, I guess. You know, it's like Flickr or Tumblr, like right? So that's how I rationalized it. So that was great. So that was about 4 years ago. Since then, definitely moved on from the ad agency. A lot has happened. But to get to the gist of the story is I basically kept blogging, kept meeting people, eventually met my current business partners and advisors on Instagram, actually. And I'm happy to talk more about them. But these guys are absolute studs. They're a bit older than me. And that was really great for me because it was kind of an advisor partner role. They've been around for a long time, pretty well known in the space. We ended up partnering together, formed a larger company, a holding company called Trep Media Group. Now we co-own a couple publications, podcast, consulting company, things like that. But my full focus is Pursuit, which I started, obviously, like I mentioned, as a blog. And within the last year, pivoted over to be that of a daily email. And ever since doing that, it's pretty much changed everything. I mean, I don't have the stats to back it up, but I'm pretty sure we're one of the fastest growing. I mean, we're absolutely exploding. We're sold out all of our inventory for months ahead. And it's gaining a lot of traction. But so that's my full-time focus. Well, not full-time. It's my full focus, but I'm also I run a sales team in Chicago for an ad tech company. So I'm doing them both concurrently. And I'm happy to talk about that, but that's the gist, and I'll leave it at that.
Wow. To say I'm impressed would be an understatement. I love this. You are a straight hustler, and I definitely relate to having a full-time job. I am an affiliate manager for a technology startup and in the blogging and entrepreneurship space. We're actually an email marketing service provider called ConvertKit. So I run all their affiliate management partnerships, and I do all this stuff on the side. So I want to hear, how has it been for you to have a full-time job running a sales team and, you know, having a couple full-time side hustles? Because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are doing both. They have a full-time gig and then they also are running something on the side. How do you manage your time? I know that's the most basic question ever, but I know it's going to be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good question, but I hear so many people thinking like the answer to that question is like some magical solution or something like that. I also think I hear a lot of people like asking that question because they're afraid of like what the answer is. Like, it's so hard to do a 9-to-5 and a side hustle. And like, my answer is like, I think it's super easy, frankly. Like, I think it's the easiest thing in the world. Like, people are like, oh, how do you find the time? I'm like, I find the time. I get 8 hours of sleep and I still have time to be social. Like, to me, it's just like easy. I think the difference is like, I've definitely been fortunate to have a 9-to-5 that aligns perfectly with my entrepreneurial endeavor and vice versa, right? It'd be different if I was, you know, a lawyer during the day and a hip hop artist at night, right? Those don't exactly lend themselves to each other, right? But I do sales, business development, and marketing during the day. And then I go home and do sales, business development, and marketing at night, but for my own project, right? So it's like all the skills I learned during the day are applied at night and vice versa. So to me, it's really easy, right? It's very fluid. But I'm also like super, super, super passionate about what I do at night, right? With Pursuit. I've been doing it for 4 years. I've been creating one piece of content or curating a piece of content every night for 4 years. So like it's just part of my DNA, right? Like I'll get home mm-hmm. from work, hang out for a little bit, eat dinner, go to the gym, come back. It's 10 o'clock. And then I'll stay up to, you know, probably one working on it. And it's in my blood at this point. There's like no alternative to that. I really don't get sick of it. So I am a little, I would think peculiar in that respect. Like I don't ever really want to take a day off, but I mean, mm-hmm. I think ultimately to answer the question, I think balancing is really easy. If you're actually passionate about that thing that you're trying to create, you'll find a way just because it makes sense for you.
Right, for sure. But I mean, whenever you're doing the balancing act, there are a lot of opportunities that come your way that you have to say no to, I would assume. You know, like classic time management, you have to protect your calendar. So how do you choose what to say yes to and what to say no to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think ultimately, being someone in a leadership position, I'm somewhat senior at the company that I work for. It's like if you mm-hmm. have a side hustle and have a 9-to-5, you still need to be very respectful of the company that you're working for, right? I think it's not right for you to take advantage of that scenario, build your company. I know Gary Vaynerchuk has always said like the ideal scenario is you work a 9-to-5 that pays you the most, that where you do the least, right? I think that's great. Right. Not always possible for people, right? But I mean, to answer your question, I think it's just a matter of knowing your business, your side hustle business, and knowing what's going to grow it, right? So like, for example, today I had a busy day at my 9-to-5. I actually couldn't attend the recording of my own podcast that I do because I had a more important meeting. And like, I knew that like taking one day off my podcast and having my partner run it would be fine in the long term of things, right? But conversely, mm-hmm. like if there's something that would really, really push my side hustle business forward and I had maybe a lunch or something scheduled at my 9-to-5, I might try to move that around. So, I mean, I think it just comes with experience and with perspective, knowing and being able to prioritize.
Yeah. And making sure that whatever you're saying yes to aligns with the overarching goal and mission of your side hustle or your endeavor. Yeah, that's great advice. So I want to dig into your newsletters, like into Pursuit, into the content, because you've built it's just a very distinct brand. You know, your voice, your brand voice is so strong, and it speaks to millennials and people in their, you know, early 30s so directly that people read it and they feel like you're just talking to them like it's your friend. You know, how did you develop that very distinct brand voice and then kind of go through the process of what it's like to write one of your pieces every day?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So again, I've been doing for Pursuit for like 4 years, and the whole concept when I started it was just sharing what I call a perspective that inspires, right? That's kind of our tagline, you know, not really defined by a certain genre, right? We write about entrepreneurship, we write about travel, whatever it may be, but the idea is just perspectives that will inspire you. And ultimately, you know, it's self-improvement content, right? Self-development. I did that for a while, and we had a lot of traction. Like, I had over 600 contributors. We had Gary Vaynerchuk contributing, Mark Manson, James Altucher, like big name guys in the space, right? Yeah. You know, I had a lot of press and Entrepreneur and Inc. and Forbes, but it was a little bit forced, and the voice, in my opinion, was not quite there. I was still learning. I think I was kind of impressionable to what like Forbes and Inc. were doing, right? And very serious, kind of, they took themselves very serious, right? And then kind of over the past year, I like kind of just like decided to be more pragmatic. And just like, you know, I'm trying to fit this mold potentially that doesn't really align with what I want to do. And it's not getting the reaction that I necessarily wanted, right? Like, I want to speak like I speak with my buddies, and we're like cynical, we're a little bit sarcastic, right? We're a little mm-hmm. bit jaded by things. And like, that's kind of how we are nowadays. You know, ultimately I just decided to, like, I was like, kind of, you know, F it. Let's put this into a voice that makes sense. Like, people don't want to be serious all the time. And certainly when it comes to self-development content, people don't want to be Tony Robbins all the time, right? Tony Robbins is great, but it's very serious stuff. It's
preach.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, let's just, you know, kind of flip the script a little bit. Let's see what we could do, you know, and just started to take things less seriously, started trying to use more language in the way that we speak. I mean, my generation, call it Generation X, Z, whatever, Y, whatever you want to call millennials and Gen Z these days, like, we communicate with memes, like we tag each other on Instagram, like that's how we talk, right? So I think the idea was, how do you make self-development content more approachable? Well, you make it a little bit funny, but also serious at the same time. You get people in the door by appealing to their sense of humor or their sense of curiosity, and then you keep them there by actually providing dope content, right? Not preaching to them, you know, not telling them what to do, but rather just getting people to share their perspectives on how they've improved their life. So that was kind of the idea. And then, I mean, it certainly has been trial and error. I mean, the email is pretty simple. It goes on Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central, and it's basically three parts. It's basically an intro from me, which is, I call it the too long, did not read section, right? People who are lazy that don't want to read the SparkNotes version, right? Which basically summarizes the article for that day. Second section is just like links that I curated from the day before, maybe three or four links, just cool stuff on the internet. And then the third section is the article, right? Either written by myself, I occasionally write, but more likely from one of my, you know, close to 600 contributors at this point. That's it. It's pretty simple. But I think the reason that people gravitate towards it so much is the brand voice, to your point, which I appreciate. It's clever headlines, clever intro. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. I mean, you can talk about digital marketing in a nutshell. You can talk about email marketing, and I'll say spend all your time on the headline and the intro and the preview text. But I think that really helps because it contextualizes what you have to offer rather than, you know, jumping right into something that is historically, derivative of your mom or dad's advice or a guy in a suit on a stage trying to motivate you, right? And that's not really what I want to do.
Yeah, you are totally speaking my language because I think people nowadays want to be entertained, you know? Yes. And I think that's what your brand voice does, is it's entertaining while also educating. And you can also inspire too. And you can do all of that in the same piece of content without boring people. But something you mentioned that I want to touch on is that you felt this pressure to kind of maybe formulate pursuit similar to Forbes or similar to Inc. And you felt this need to kind of break out of that box and create something that was very, very specific to your audience. But I want to talk about that pressure to feel like you have to be like everybody else. How did you kind of navigate that and then decide, all right, I don't want to create just another version of Forbes? And then you kind of moved forward with what you have now. That process, that moment that you arrived at to make that decision, I feel like a lot of people get stuck in this habit of maybe like emulating, or not that you're copycatting, but they see somebody else that's successful and they want to do exactly what they did, but not necessarily find their own voice. So how did you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think to be clear, like, I'm a big fan of imitation. I say it all the time. I think like in this day and age, like, unless you're Elon Musk and you're going to Mars, like, I hate to like kill people's dreams, and I'm certainly not trying to reflect that, but like, it's tough to do anything that's like wholly, wholly original, right? It's the internet. Agreed. So many people are doing the same thing. So I think there's nothing wrong with imitation. I think in my case, I certainly wasn't imitating anything because I definitely, I think the self-improvement space with the idea that I had was unique, but the execution was too imitative, right? I think the reason that I think I fell into that trap was, you know, to me, trying to be an online publisher, like, what does success really look like? That was the first question to me. I was like, well, success obviously looks like Inc. or Forbes or Entrepreneur or Elite Daily, right? Those are the guys who get the headlines, who are million-dollar companies. That's who you need to emulate your business model around. And I think that was the pitfall that I fell into for so long because I didn't have my own definition of success. I didn't have a business plan, right? That was a big problem. And I think the reason that I came to be like, this is not necessarily working, is I took a step back and like, again, to my point earlier, I'm pretty pragmatic. I'm kind of a realist when it comes to life in general, but certainly business. And I took a step back and I was like, you know, I've created something that's cool. You know, it's cool. It's got a good following, you know, we're doing things. But is it a business, right? Is this an actual business? Are we scaling and are we making money? And the answer was very little. So I was like, all right, so what are we going to do here? It's like, you're in a very crowded space. You're in a very diluted space. And really all you're doing is you're imitating with a little bit of special sauce on top. I was like, we need to separate more so from that. So that was, you know, a year, not even a year, honestly, it was like 6 months ago when I decided to shift pursuit from being a traditional online publisher to that of a daily email. And that decision came from that kind of stepping back and being a realist and being like, you know, let's do this the right way. Let me like really put my stamp on it with the brand voice, which we just talked about, but also on a channel mm-hmm. that is kind of unique, right? More and more people are mm-hmm. jumping into email. I could rattle off a bunch of folks who are doing it. But there certainly are fewer. There's more room to play around in there. So that's the decision mm-hmm. that I made. You know, it wasn't necessarily a decision to like, you know, try to innovate, but it was a decision to carve out more of a space for myself, right? Take the foundation of the idea, but make it more my own brand voice, and then do it in a channel where I had more room to play, right? It's playing online and trying to drive traffic is not a game that I want to play anymore. It's tough. I don't, we could talk tactical about this. I love talking about it, but like, I want to control my own destiny. I don't want to worry about Facebook algorithms or SEO. Like I want to own mm-hmm. my distribution. So a bunch right. of things came into play to answer your question, but ultimately is how do I continue to be inspired, but actually really, really, really make it unique and do it in a way on a channel that has more room to play around in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to dig into the tactics because I'm a nerd and I work for an email marketing SaaS company. So, I mean, email newsletters is my jam, email funnels, all of it, tagging, all the things. So let's talk about how social media is rented real estate and the only things that you really own on the internet is your website and your email list. Mm-hmm. Go.
You said it. I love it. You're preaching, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, you literally said it. I think, man. I spent so much time trying to grow my Facebook page, trying to grow Instagram, trying to do SEO, all design the site speed, all these different things that I think are certainly important. And this is not to diminish the value of having real estate on those channels. But if you're spread thin in that manner, you're not focusing on the primary factors that are going to drive your business. Right. You know, I've got like 80,000 followers on Facebook, for example, spent a lot of time in there and then poof, gone with Facebook's most recent announcement on the newsfeed for publishers. It's good. It's goodbye to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say I still really lean on Instagram. I have 130,000 on the pursuit page and that drives a lot of results. And that was pretty intentional for me to stick to that because I thought that channel I'd always been really involved with and had a lot of engagement, but decided to stick to that. So I had a little leg up when deciding to actually aggregate everything into email, right? So I had a little leg up, mm-hmm. but outside of that, you know, the decision to move to email was, you know, really outside of some deliverability issues and the way that emails are delivered across whatever platform you're using, it's pretty straightforward. Your content speaks for itself, right? You don't have to trick the algorithm. You don't have to do any of that. It's create dope content, good headlines, good engagement. People share, you're good to go. Like you can focus on the one thing that matters to you, which is content. And that was my frustration before where I'm a content guy, but I'm sitting here trying to look through keyword rankings and difficulty and competitiveness and hating every second of it and using that to write articles and then trying to get backlinks in other blogs. Like it's just a soul sucking endeavor, frankly, yeah. and mm-hmm. didn't want to play that anymore. And not just the desire to do that, but if I actually went back and looked at all of our assets and looked at where the engagement was, where the growth was, and it was email. So I mm-hmm. that combined with the fact that, you know, companies like the Skim or the Hustle or any of those guys are doing so well and kind of, you know, and I kind of like the fact that people are like, millennials don't like email. Millennials don't check their email. I kind of like the fact that people were saying that. I was like, that's not true. Yeah, so
it's not true.
It's not at all. Yeah. It doesn't get more personal than email. If you're willing to give your email address out, which is your name, it's a very private form of communication. That's where I want to mm-hmm. be. So long-winded way of saying, you know, I think email is freaking awesome.
Me too. I'm a big fan of email. How many readers do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So as of today, we have 82,000. But you talk to me by probably, this is the end of January, probably the end of February, we'll be probably closer to 120 or so, just given our current rate.
Yeah, that is absolutely incredible. You mentioned earlier that your previous process wasn't generating any income. And I love that you said this is a project if it's, you know, not necessarily generating any income, but I want to create a business. And I do think that there's a big difference there. So how are you generating income now with Pursuit? Like what are your main revenue streams?
Yeah. So it's threefold. Primarily it's sponsorships, right? So if you see okay. in our emails, we have sponsors, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're completely sold out through March at this point, right? So we're sold out 2.5 months down the line, which is really good. So we're maxed out on our inventory. So we basically can't make any more money through that, which is a good problem to have. Marketers love email, so it's really easy to get brands to pay us that. So we do that. We also do affiliate marketing within our emails, right? So we get a percentage of the sale when people click a link, helpful link section, things like that. And then we also have our own product that I partnered up with someone else. It's an online video academy for entrepreneurs. So obviously, since we own that product and it's a monthly subscription fee for that, we pocket that, right? So that's the threefold right now. We're in late 2018, early 2019. We're going to start doing some events and whatnot, just because we have the interest and we have the distribution. It makes a lot of sense. So eventually that'll be there, and we'll probably introduce another product or two down the line. But predominantly right now, it's advertisers, right? Advertisers want to get in front of our audience. They want us to tell our audience about their products. And I think the good thing is we can afford to be pretty selective, just because I actually just had to make our first hire in the form of someone to handle our inbound and outbound advertising inquiries. So yeah, those are the three, soon to be a fourth, maybe fifth down the line.
That's amazing. I also like the diversification of the online video training membership, because you're taking it a step further from just sending them an email. But then if they want to, they have that opportunity to learn more about entrepreneurship and like dig in, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that we don't necessarily give our audiences a chance to really dig even deeper into our content versus like just on the surface level. So how do you decide when and where to go deep with your content and to keep creating more products there that you're seeing a lot of engagement on? And then when, you know, some content is more just like that surface level.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, for us, the creation of this like video academy, I didn't just decide to create it. I created it because people asked me to. So I was definitely very deliberate and patient with that. Like, I love, you know, lean startup methodology where you introduce a product, get feedback, and then build off of it. But in this case, it was people were asking, right? We did a lot of articles on side hustles and things like that. And people were constantly emailing me talking about their business plan or how they wanted to get started or they didn't know what to do. And, you know, I tried to help as many people as I can, but ultimately it was like, wow, you know, I have a lot of friends in this space. I know a lot of very successful entrepreneurs, you know, friends, colleagues, people that I know. Why don't we just get them all together, give them a mic, record it, and put it in a format where it's updated frequently. So the idea was very organic, and typically that's how I like to operate. But that brings up a larger thing for me, which I think is helpful to talk about. You know, you talk about surface level versus like going in deep, whether that's offering a product or just offering more insight and personality. Recently, I've always been like really humble behind the scenes. Although I suppose it's not humble to say I'm very humble, but I think like for
me. I know
me,
what you mean.
I was never one of those guys who like, I'm Case Kenny, you know, 6-7 figure entrepreneur, or like, I never did that crap. I hate it. Like all these right. people online do that. Right. But recently I've started really putting my face to pursuit, and it was very intentional. The reason that I did it, I'm not doing it to get more followers or people to know who Case Kenny is. Right. That's great. And I'm sure there is a little ego play in play if I'm being a realist, but the reason that I really decided to do it was you look at some of the folks like the Skim or the Hustle, great products, but they're still like faceless organizations, right? Their about page is still like, we have a team of writers who, you know, create great content that you guys love. And I think that's great and killer, but it still lacks that personal touch. And for me, I've noticed a really, really big change in engagement and just our growth by introducing myself into the equation. Like in the emails, I'm like, hey, I'm Case. I'm the guy who sends these emails. Yeah, I make some typos. My bad. You know, follow me on Instagram. Let's chat. And I always respond to everyone.
You make yourself human.
Yeah.
You know, you like humanize the,
And I just like, I see a lot of, I mean, brands in general, I mean, you could talk about, oh, brands aren't human. We could talk in circles about that all day, but specifically when it comes to publications and specifically when it comes to email publications, like I don't see it. So like the Hustle does a good job, I suppose. You know, you all know it's Sam and his team and they're very cheeky and funny, but like to me, I think you almost like need to be in people's faces with it. Like you're a person who has this idea, and like when people are reading it, they're really reading kind of your thoughts. And if they respond, they will reach you. And to me, like doing that and decided to go more, not just surface level with that, but really deep, that's made a really, really big difference. And it really, people open up to me. They tell me what they want. They'll tell me if they like our advertisers. So it's a great way to build that feedback loop, which I think is really, really important. So I thought I would just throw that in because I think it's really essential to try in whatever line of business you're in to make it more personal and figure out a way to market it that way organically, not just saying like meet the team, right? It's got to be more than that. It's got to be embedded in your product.
Oh, I completely agree because people want to feel emotionally connected to other people. Like that is a basic human need. And whenever you're spending your time on the internet, following people, scrolling, you know, finding inspiration, reading people's emails, there's a part of all of us that want to feel connected to that other person. And whenever you can put your personhood and your personality into your business, I really feel like it pays off more than if you are mysterious and you have this big wall between you and your audience. Like, I just think it's such a waste of time trying to be mysterious.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I mean, in this day and age where you can get anything you want at a minute's notice and you can stalk your friend's cousin's second roommate in college and figure out exactly who that is, like people want that, right? Like Forbes, like doesn't like no one knows like who runs Forbes, like who decides what gets written. Like to me, that's really annoying. And I think a lot of my peers who were raised on transparency, all of a sudden they hit this wall when it comes to publications that you need to, in order to survive, you need to not just survive, but like you should create your public, if we're talking publications, you should create your publication from the ground up in that way.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about transparency. I love that you said that word, and I'm all about vulnerability and being super open. And how does that play out in your business? Like you said that we live in a very transparent generation. Everyone's sharing everything on the internet, anything from what they had for lunch to what struggle they're going with right now, like with their family. Like everyone's very open. And just kind of how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty cynical. I think people are open, but I don't know what to believe anymore, honestly. Like everyone's got the Lambos and Ferraris and private jets on Instagram. I pretty much don't believe anyone anymore. Not that I care whether you have a Ferrari or not. I just like, I don't know who to trust anymore. And I think transparency, like desire for more transparency has kind of been a double-edged sword in that people will go to extreme lengths to appear to be transparent when they're really not, right? So I think it's a little bit sad. But at the same time, like I firmly believe in it. Like I've considered for Pursuit putting up our earnings reports, right? Our monthly revenue reports, like some bloggers do, right? I've considered doing that as well. Like I think things like that go a long way. I think it's super important. I mean, for myself being in the, you know, quote, self-improvement, self-development space, like I think it's so crucial for me to address the fact that I mean, I'm 29. I don't know everything I'm doing. I don't, you know, listen to me if you want, but don't if you don't want to. Like, I don't know everything. Like, you have all these people, right. Like, people are like, oh, Case, you should go on speaking tours. I'm like, I can, but I can really only talk about a couple things, and I'm happy to do that, but I'm certainly no expert. Like, people, like, it drives me nuts when people get up there and just start like shouting out rhetoric on things. Like, I think the most impactful people I know are like a little bit disparaging of themselves because you realize and you're self, you know, you know that you don't know everything. I think that's super important. So I don't have a great answer to your question because I struggle with that. I think a lot of people struggle with that. People want to be transparent, but in this race to, you know, prove your worth, you end up being a bit deceptive. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing that you could do if you're a publisher, is just try to just be really, really clear on why you're doing what you're doing, how you do it. And really just, you know, don't be shady, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the publication space has been turned on its head lately. You see all these articles about PR firms paying for features and all this kind of thing. You never know if the feature was paid for and things like that. So don't have a great answer for you, but I'm trying.
No, I think that's a perfect answer and very honest, very transparent, because I feel like everyone's kind of in this space where they're trying to impress everybody on the internet. Yep. And it's like, who can get there fastest? Who can grow the quickest? And again, I'm not bashing the internet. I think it's an amazing place where a lot of beautiful things can happen. However, at the same time, it's an incredible tool for comparison and just in increasingly terrible insecurity. And I mean, how has that impacted you? Like this race to get to a certain level at a certain age and have the Lambos and have all the materialistic things. Like it's depressing.
It is. It really is. I mean, I fell into that, right? Like, you know, a year or two ago, I was all about getting press, right? I was like, man, if only I can get that headline in Forbes, people would like really respect me. And then I could be Case Kenny entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a problem. And like, I have a lot of press now and it's done nothing for me, right? It's like, I'm in Inc. and Forbes and CBS and it's great, but it doesn't make me any more of an entrepreneur or any happier, right. Any more of a success, right? It's a means to an end towards something. And I think, again, all these, you know, I blogged about this a lot and I put it on Instagram, and again, no like hate or anything like that towards people, but everyone wants to be a CEO, right? I think it's insane how people will start a blog and then go and change their bio to CEO, right? Like,
yeah.
Again, there's no hate. Like, I love it. Like, take ownership of your life. That's badass. Create something. You're in charge. That's cool. But like, the reason that people do it is because they think that that's what you're supposed to do and that's what success looks like, right? Like, to me, that's why I'm perfectly content being a behind the scenes guy. The only reason I've started to come out more with Case Kenny personal brand is because I think it's essential to grow Pursuit that way. But I would never in a million years call myself CEO until Pursuit has an executive board and, you know, $30 million in revenue a year. There's no need to do that. I just don't need it. Right. Like my satisfaction comes through the influence that I'm garnering and the impact that I'm making. And I know that certainly sounds cheesy. I'm definitely in it for the money as well. I'm running a business and business motivated. But at the same time, like, I don't need any of that crap. But I learned that along the way. 2-3 years ago, I was definitely that guy wanting the features and wanting people to be like, oh, wow, Case is an entrepreneur. So I think you just need to check yourself. I think people need to realize the reality of what you're doing is yours and yours alone. It doesn't need to mirror that of the people that you see in Forbes and Inc. and all that crap online. You just create something that you think is valuable, that puts a smile on your face. And then if a CEO title and a headline and Inc. comes with it, that's an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So much truth was just spoken. I absolutely love that because your perspective on this is just very fresh. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just overwhelmed by how everyone is wanting to keep up with the Joneses. But this idea of impact and influence comes along with a lot of responsibility. And if you're going to have impact and influence, you also need to know what you're influencing other people towards, you know? And so what does influence mean to you? Yeah. And like, why do you want to be influential?
Yeah, that's a good question. What does it mean to me? It means a lot. It really does. I mean, I think there's no higher calling. Maybe that's a bit much, but like, I think having, I want to be influential, not influenced per se. I think, you know, if we're talking like deep stuff, like I think I was put on the earth to share perspectives and be influential in that respect. But like, you know, nothing forced. And I think recently, like I really had a profound perspective in that I get literally hundreds of responses to the emails that I send out every day. Usually I try to keep up with them throughout the week, but usually I sit down on Sunday and respond to every single one of them, right? I think that's a big part of what I'm doing to build the brand, right? When you send an email out to 100,000 people and encourage people to respond, they're going to respond. And like the other week, I had someone email me back, and it was this guy talking about how he's like in a really low part of his life and he was considering suicide and these kind of things. And I'm like, man, I am out of my depth here. Like, what do I even say to this guy? And like things like that. And obviously, you know, I tried to handle the situation as best I could, but it made me realize, to your point, you know, not to quote Spider-Man, but like with great power comes great responsibility. I'm not saying I'm powerful or anything, but like when you have influence, it does come with responsibility. And like, it's easy to get lost in the details, but eventually, you know, I'll be emailing 500,000 people a day through our email list, like very soon within the year. And like that comes with it, like a fine tooth, you know, you're going to be looked at in detail, and what you say matters, right? You have a platform for that. So I think it's really, really important to be aware of that and know that what you says has impact. So to me, that's definitely not lost on me. And, you know, it's not to sound, you know, self-righteous or anything, but I think it's really important for that. And it's very humbling to know that I am increasingly having that impact. And then to answer your second question, What does it mean to me, or why do I want to have influence? I don't know. I mean, I think that's anyone's purpose, right? I think everyone is, if you have perspective in life, it's kind of your human calling. It's your responsibility as a human to share it so that people can benefit from it. And then in turn, get better and become better humans themselves. So to me, I think the whole reason I started Pursuit is I realized the power that different perspectives can have, right? You know, there's no greater influence in your life than going out and traveling and experiencing things yourself, but not everyone can do that. So the next best impactful, most impactful thing you can do is learn from others. And after, you know, publishing thousands of pieces, having my own podcast for 2 years, having, you know, 600, 700 contributors, I've had a lot of perspectives in my head, right? And I know the impact that can have. So to me, it kind of just works full circle in that I've seen the impact that it can have. And I think, therefore, it's kind of my, you know, somewhat of a calling to continue that cycle. Mm.
I love that because I want to be influential too. I mean, I think anybody that has that entrepreneurial bug, there's something in you that wants to have impact on the world through whatever it is that you're creating. You know, and like honoring that feeling inside you by going out and actually doing it. Now, I want to talk really quickly before we wrap the show about becoming a better person, because that's what Pursuit really is all about. It's all about helping people become the badass human that they really are. And like that's their tagline. And I want to talk about what that actually looks like. Like, what does the journey look like to becoming a better person? Is it awareness? Have you seen a common thread of things that really it takes to kind of get a different perspective and take steps towards being a better person?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when I think better person, when I think become the most badass human you could be, I think about minimizing regret. To me, that's all it is, right? Mm-hmm. I think the more you can remove regret from your life, the more potential you've reached, right? So I kind of like work at it backwards, right? Because I think you could always talk yourself in circles and be like, am I the best person I can be, right? Am I truly happy? Am I truly content? I think you can really poke holes in yourself that way, right? I think certainly there is merit to sitting down and like kind of auditing yourself and be like, am I happy? Am I fulfilled, right? That's a different story. I think for me, mm-hmm. I have this fear, a little bit of vulnerability in saying that, you know, like I would hate to, I turned 30 this year, or when I turned 40, I would hate to look back and be like, man, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't do this or this or this or that, right? I don't want right. that feeling. So really, if I'm being truly honest, I think I really created Pursuit out of that fear, out of that motive, call it more of a motivation in not wanting to experience regret down the line. So I think becoming a badass human, the whole idea of Pursuit is providing perspectives that will encourage you to explore different aspects of your life, your career, your relationships, whatever it may be, so that you don't have regret down the line. To me, it's that simple, and it's kind of like reverse engineering it a little bit. But, you know, potential, you know, this idea of reaching your potential, I think is aligned with this idea of minimizing regret. If you don't have regrets in your life, then to me, then bingo, you came here, you rocked out, you did what you were supposed to do, and you reached that potential. I think it's that simple.
Yeah. Man. And so when you're making a choice and you're making a decision and living your best life to mitigate risk, or not mitigate risk, because there's always going to be risk, to mitigate regret, that means that there has to be some level of self confidence. And like you're very sure of yourself when you're making decisions so that you're not going to regret it. What does it look like to have that confidence? Like, how does someone that maybe is insecure and feels like they make a lot of decisions that they regret and they're not living their best life, like, what are some things they can do to become more confident or feel more secure in themselves?
You're asking all my favorite questions.
Hey! did we just become best friends?
I think we did. I mean, I blog and do a lot of stuff on this topic. But I think two things. One, I mean, like to avoid what you referenced, like avoid like second guessing your decisions. I mean, I'm a big proponent of just trusting your journey. And if you talk to my business partner, Matt, he backs that up. Like we're very journey driven. You know, I always try to appreciate where I am, appreciate that more than potentially regretting a decision that I could have made. Right. So I'm a big proponent of that. It's kind of like a foundational value to me. This is where I am. appreciate what you have. When it comes to like self-confidence, I think the biggest thing that has really worked wonders for me and that I've seen in a lot of my peers and colleagues and friends is this idea of like people like, I want to be confident, right? I want to be confident in the way I carry myself. I want to be confident in the decisions I make. Like, how do I do that? And everyone's like, oh, fake it till you make it, right? You just like, you'd be like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And because I say so, it's going to rock. And then when it doesn't, it's like, oh man, you know, I don't have confidence. So to me, it's like, this, like, there's a difference between confidence and self-esteem. And I think to have great confidence in yourself, whether that's your appearance, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, or your decision-making, I think you first need to work on your self-esteem. And self-esteem is that more inherent, the more inherent confidence in your ability, not necessarily the execution of your ability, right? You know, you can, you know, be great at baseball, but strike out. That doesn't mean you're not great at baseball, right? It's just that poor execution. So to me, like, if you really want to work on that, you need to work on your self-esteem. And self-esteem is just, to me, in my instance case, Kenny, it's just being a man of your word, right? That's how I built self-confidence in myself via self-esteem. So like when I say self-esteem, it's like, I'm sitting in my kitchen right now and I'm looking over my sink and I see dirty dishes. So in my head, I'm like, I should clean those right after this podcast ends. And I'm going to, because little wins like that start adding up in your head. When you say you're going to do something and you do it, that builds self-esteem. It teaches yourself and your soul that when you say something, you're going to do it because you're a man or woman of your word, right? And those start to add up and it starts to really profoundly affect you, and that you know that you can trust yourself and that you're driven in that way. And that to me leads to true self-confidence, which is actual execution of things down the line. So to me, long-winded way of saying like if you really want to be confident in yourself or your execution, first you need to actually build that foundation, which is through this idea of self-esteem.
You're taking us to church right now, Case.
Let's go.
Well, I could talk to you for hours. I feel like we have a lot that we could talk about, but I want to wrap up this show. I have one more question I would love to ask you, but before I do, can you share where everyone can find you and Pursuit online?
Yeah, for sure. You can find Pursuit at pursuit.com. Again, it's PRSUIT.com. And you can find me, I'm just case.kenny on Instagram. Easy stuff.
Awesome. I love it. And I'll link up all those in the show notes for you guys too, so you can find those there. All right, Case, thank you so much for being on the show, man. You have so much wisdom and just so much light about you and so much energy. I'm on the other end of this podcast. Like, I'm going to go hustle. It's Friday night. I'm going to go hustle my butt off tonight. I'm so excited. The question I end every podcast with is, and it's something I want to ask you right now, is what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Yeah, good question. It means everything. It means, you know, being able to control your destiny with the resources that you have right in front of you. I mean, I think it's laptop lifestyle being a reflection of the time that we live in, where you can create massive, massive influence on a small piece of electronics and share your perspective throughout the world. I mean, it means everything. I think it means that we're in a day and age where, you know, your voice can be heard around the world, something that was never previously possible. So I think we should take that seriously. So, I mean, it means everything. And I think it's empowering. It gives me a little swag. It gives me confidence. It makes me want to just create. But yeah, it's super important to me.